Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone.
WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining us today is probably one of the hardest working advocates out there, and someone who has been on the show, has been a great friend to us, and I'm really pleased to have Jan Bergman back with us. Jan, thank you for joining us. I know that you're trying to stay dry.
At the moment, it's important to stay dry here in Florida. Normally, we have drought, but now we need to stay dry. But, hey.
There's a silver lining there, Jan.
No hurricane yet.
Well, not only there's no hurricane yet, but at least people are not going to, at least the grass is remaining green. So that's one less thing for associations to get on your case about, right?
Hey, careful. St. Augustine grass doesn't like too much rain either.
Uh-oh. We're in trouble. We're in trouble.
Yes, we are.
Oh, well, the CAI attorneys and the board members are going to have something to squawk about.
Yes, as usual.
As usual. Jan, I want to mention quickly that you're now writing a blog.
Yes, I do, on the Sun Sentinel, and it's an HOA and condo blog. I'm one of the guest bloggers, and works out real good. Good responses, works fine. It's something where people read, you know, where you can start getting opinions, the feeling what people really want, and it is for people very educational to read.
What I love about it, and I want to come back, Jan, and talk about it later, but if we have time, because I think the last one that you did was just absolutely phenomenal. The restrictions and more restrictions. That's what the title is. So I'd really like to come back to that. But before we even go there, one of the things that homeowners have been asking for is oversight, or as I like to call it, a little adult supervision somewhere along the lines, right?
That is correct. I mean, everybody knows full well that the best law is useless without proper enforcement. And associations are kind of unique because I think it's the only place in the world where you pay for a lawsuit where you sue somebody, a third party, and this third party can use your money to defend its own violations. That's unique. And it is more or less, in a way, the downfall, because the people in power have the ability to use money to defend what they are doing wrong with the money of the persons whose rights they are violating. I don't think there's anywhere in the world something like that.
Well, you know, homeowners have been advocating for something, and a number of states have responded. In Florida, you have the DBPR. In Nevada, you have it's gone through so many different reincarnations that I don't even know what you have now, except that it's been taken over by the industry. In Virginia, we started off with the industry having it and handling the whole thing. But you have been sort of sounding the alarm for the problems with the DBPR. If they don't want to enforce, there's no force on earth that's gonna make them do it, and they don't really want to do it, do they?
Well, that's the problem. But see, actually, we have elected officials who are in charge of this government agency and who could take the necessary action to change and make the changes needed. But they seem not to be interested. You know, we got about a year and a half ago, we got a new secretary for the DBPR, a guy named Charles Drago, who came highly recommended with a background of law enforcement. That's minimum what they. I am not sure what kind of laws he enforced, because after he took over with the DBPR, he sure didn't enforce any law anymore. And it has gone from bad to worse on a daily basis. It is just plainly ridiculous what this state agency is doing. To be very honest, they do more damage than you can imagine. And there's barely anything good coming out of it. In my opinion, they're wasting everybody's time and money. And they're actually busy finding excuses for the many violators of the laws and the even more scam artists we have here in Florida. I mean, don't forget, Florida is the scam capital of the world. And we hear daily about outrageous embezzlements, frauds, scams, you name it, it's there. You know, I give you an example. We have in Port Charlotte, that's at the west coast of Florida, a retirement community found that the CAM management company or one of its employees embezzled more than $1.2 million from people who are not very young anymore. One said, hey, if you're 80 here, you're young. Many of them live on Social Security, and that is now known since more than 1 year, and nothing has happened. And guess what? The management firm and the manager still have a license. The DPPR says, oh, there's not enough proof they did anything wrong. I mean, they canceled checks there. The one CAM manager paid her private American Express card account off every month with checks from the association. I mean, there's no excuse, and they do nothing.
And, you know, this seems to be something that happens all over the place. I've talked about this before on the show, and you may remember this, but a few years ago they had some hearings in Texas, and there the homeowners are saying we really need some oversight. There was a story I remember about board member or a homeowner who kept requesting to look at the books and records because nothing was being done. I mean, all the common areas were just totally neglected. The pool was a green slime. The tennis courts had cracks in them. Grass was never cut. The potholes appearing all over the place. And the board would say, oh, we've lost the checks. We don't have that information. This guy finally convinced the DA or someone to come in and take a look. And they, again, got the same song and dance from the board. Oh, we don't have canceled checks. We don't have the books and records. We've lost all the paperwork. Whoops, sorry. Go away and have a nice day. Well, this guy had the power to subpoena the canceled checks and the financial statements from the bank. And what he found was that the board members, all of them, had been using all the HOA dues that they were collecting to finance their own little entrepreneurial companies. Yan, nothing was done. They were asked to return some of it and asked to step down from the board. That was it. That's all that happened to them.
Yeah, I mean, we had similar cases here. I remember one case where they finally found the board president guilty of having embezzled $7,000. That was the lowest amount they could find and they could come up with, and they had no excuses to say, no, he didn't. So, guess what? They fined the board president $1,000. They fined him $1,000, but they didn't request him to repay the money. So when the owners complained, they said, oh, that's not our problem. You have to sue him in civil court. Hello.
All right, let's redefine this adult supervision. I don't think that's what homeowners had in mind.
No, I don't think so. And to be very honest, as you well know, since many, many years here in Florida, we are asking for a regulatory agency for homeowners associations because, don't forget, the DBPR is only there for condos. You know what? After what a lot of people saw, what the DBPR is doing, quite a few of the people who asked for a regulatory agency said, hey, we need one and we desperately need one, but not something like the DBPR. In that case, rather let's open it up again so we can go immediately to court and sue without jumping through all the hoops. But we don't need something like that. They're doing more harm than good. And they're costing us lots of money and make it difficult and more or less pretty useless.
Do you think that the homeowners would be better off if we just totally deregulated associations?
Well, here's the problem. We see all kinds of statutes, laws, and so on created which more or less obligate the owners to do all kinds of things, but doesn't do anything to the board or especially the service providers. You know, don't ever forget, the service providers are actually the only ones who profit from these associations. Because not the owners, definitely not.
No, this has nothing to do with the owners. This is for the government, local municipal governments, and the industry.
Right. The ones who profit most are definitely the attorneys and the CAM manager. There's no argument about it.
I agree.
And they are as well the ones who you find in Tallahassee year for year claiming that they need changes of laws but are fighting regulations. Because don't forget, you know, a citizen who is not protected by any kind of state agency is much easier to fleece. So, you know, they can squeeze these owners like a lemon. And if you pass new laws in Tallahassee and you're happy to succeed, there is some attorney who finds a new way to circumvent the law and squeeze them again. You know, we were happy to pass the law that fines can't be enforced with liens and foreclosures anymore because we saw hundreds of cases where fines were used to shut up people.
Yeah.
You know, they were not used because that person violated some deed restriction. No, that person dared to speak out at the board meeting and say, hey, this isn't right. The next thing he knew, he found a violation letter in his mailbox, and if he didn't pay the $1,000 fine, his house was leaned and foreclosed upon in the end. So we finally changed that. So the law says no more liens and foreclosures for fines here in Florida. And it says attorney fees can only be awarded to prevailing parties. Now, everybody agrees that the prevailing party can only be established in a court of law. Now, what do these law firms do? They change the bylaws and say, if you receive a violation letter which is written by the law firm, the legal fees have to be paid by you whether or not it turns out the violation was correct or not. So what they're doing is they're sending violation letters out, real wild ones, you know. Your roof is moldy, you know. Your bushes are 3 inches too high.
You've got dust on your mailbox, one of my favorites.
Yes, right. You know, there is a spot on your driveway, you know. See, things like that.
Your dog weighs 26 pounds instead of 24 pounds, 9 ounces. That's
right. Correct. And then it says at the bottom, if you don't take care of this violation, we have to fine you according to Florida statutes. But the writing of this letter costs $385 in legal fees, and no matter what, you owe this money to the law firm.
What a way to make a living. Why don't we all go out and get our law licenses?
Yes,
yeah.
So I plainly call that highway robbery.
No, you wouldn't do that, would
yes,
you?
Yes, I do. And I think it is absolutely disgusting. And I honestly think that people, that attorneys who do things like that should plainly lose their license, period. End of story.
I agree with you.
You know, that is really bad, and it circumvents the law knowingly, and it abuses people who these attorneys full well know don't have the means to defend themselves. Because here's what these people say. Okay, we could fight it. For that, we need an attorney. We go to court. It costs us money. So we rather pay the $385 and get it over with, because it will cost us a lot more money to go to court and fight it. And that is what these people are counting upon. That's it.
I know. And
then they defend how great these association system is. I have no understanding for that.
But they don't live in them, Jan. They'll come here and they'll talk for an hour about how wonderful they are and how they protect you and they protect your property values and they create community and they ensure that da-da-da-da-da. And then you say, well, do you live in one?
Oh, well, no. You don't even have to ask. I was sitting next to Joe Adams from Becker and Poyakov during the meetings of the HOA task force, and more or less he introduced himself, you know, told us who he is, what he does, and so on, and then voluntarily said, but I don't live in a HOA, and I would never move into one. And I live in a voluntary association, and that's bad enough.
So listen, guys, take a lesson out of this. Don't buy into this nonsense that HOAs are going to protect you and your property values, and they're going to make you all happy and all that. They don't. They make your life miserable.
No, they do actually the opposite. You know that the real estate market here in Florida is really bad. I mean, it's more or less down the drain. You barely can give your house away. And realtors will tell you that they hear more and more from people in the bad market, you know, which is now a buyer's market, that they say from starters, but don't show me anything inside an HOA.
You know, I have people call me up and they say, I asked for non-HOA housing and I couldn't find anything. So my choice was either rent or buy, and I chose to buy, and that was a big mistake. I should not have done that. I should have rented instead.
Well, this is a problem, and it will not change until something really good happens, because don't forget, a wide majority of people in this country in the meanwhile live under some sort of association.
So, Jan, what's it going to take for people to realize that they're being lied to?
Well, what it takes for them is an own bad experience. Because, you know, you can talk to people, you can show them documentation, they will not believe you. You know, they rather believe the attorneys who tell them all is hanky-dory, you know, best thing you can do, buy into the association, you know. I always say, okay, buy into it and then hand your checkbook over to the attorney and the camp manager. You know, that if that's what you want, hey, make my day.
I sometimes talk about some of the issues in HOAs when I go out and speak, and I've had people come up to me and say, you mean some HOAs, not all. Don't you, Sue? And I go, no. I mean, all HOAs, because, you know, I might be talking about a new law that has come on the books. I might be talking about something, a new trend that's coming down the pike. And they go, but that doesn't happen in my HOA. And, of course, when I'm here in Northern Virginia, I ask them, I say, oh, and what HOA do you live in? And they'll tell me, I go, well, you were in the papers not too long ago. Oh yeah, I know, but you don't understand, Shu. It doesn't happen in my HOA. Well, for your information, I've had your neighbors call me. In fact, I talked to one not too long ago. Oh, I know. Even my neighbor down the street has had problems. But Shu, you don't understand. It doesn't happen in my HOA. What they're telling me is, it hasn't happened to me, and therefore, it doesn't happen.
Well, that's the attitude, and that is what is so damaging to the whole system. Because a wide majority of people don't really want to hear about the problems, even if they happen to their next-door neighbor. You know, they hope they will not be the ones whose door is getting kicked in, and who are not getting fined, and who are not getting abused by some board members. And, you know, in former years, when money was still readily available, I know a lot of people, they rather paid them $500, and, then I have my peace, you know?
Yeah, I'll buy him off, right.
You know, hey, you know, look, it's not worth it arguing. Let's go for it. But, you know, this is exactly the system we saw in Germany during the Third Reich. You know, they went after the Jews, nobody else helped. Then they went after the Catholic, nobody else helped. Then they went after the Communists, and in the end there was nobody there anymore who could support each other. You know, this is the problem. The people have to organize, they have to get together and fight bad boards, and there are bad boards. Plenty of them.
Yeah, but Jan, so you fight the bad board and you get rid of that bad board and you get a new board on and everything's hunky-dory for a while, but you've still got the system there. The underlying system is there, whether it's happening, you know, whether you've got a good board now, an honest manager, an attorney that's not, you know, out to just fleece everything and anyone that gets in his...
But it comes back.
But the thing is, you've still got the system, the structure is there.
Right. Look, I was just over the weekend discussing an issue which happens very often, elections. You know, these board members, or quite a few of them, are willing to cheat, lie, forge signatures, you name it, just to stay in power, right? Now, when they get caught, and we had a case where the DBPR finally ordered a new election because it was so blatant what they did wrong, here comes the president and said, there was nothing really wrong. You know, there was nothing really wrong. That's why they ordered a new election to be held, right?
Right.
You know, and it was just a few disgruntled owners who didn't like what we do and so on, and, you know, just don't take it serious. They're always the same. You know, remember when I took over the association, how bad it was, and now it's so nice.
Yeah.
Income, that is a community with many so-called little old ladies, you know, widows. But, you know, he's always so nice. He remembers my birthday and buys me flowers.
Uh-huh.
You know, you look at the accounting of the association. Who do you think paid for the flowers?
Right.
You know, he got himself a cell phone. Hey, that's totally okay. You know, association pays for it. He holds illegal meetings in his private unit. Oh, that's okay. You know, nobody knows, but I charge the association for the cleaning lady to clean my condo. Because these people who participated in the illegal meeting carried dirt in my condo. You know, that is the attitude.
Unbelievable. It's ridiculous. The more you look, the more that people find ways of just padding things and stealing and unbelievable. I had Tyler Berdigan recently, and his complaint is that nobody wants to run for the board. And here you've got situations where board members just cling to their positions until their nails are bleeding because they don't want to give it up. So you wonder, why would somebody want to cling to something?
Money and power.
Money and power, exactly. Exactly.
You know, and I tell you the truth, in some of the associations, I can really understand why nobody wants to run for the board. What I have seen in the last year, when people volunteer to run for the board, they put slandering letters in boxes in the hallway, which were locked in, more or less slandering these opposing candidates, and I mean in a nasty way. There's actually one of them now sued the board, the people
mm-hmm.
who are board members, not the association, you know, for slander and all kinds of things. He was sick and tired. He said, you know, I'm running for the board. I have the right that my candidate sheet is published. And what they do, they show pictures which are falsified. They write things about me that never happened.
Right.
And they get away with it. And guess what? They're mailing it at the expense of the association.
But these are the ones where you have board members who are just hanging on there and they don't want to let go. You've also seen, like, the Desert Carmel out in California, where you've had outside influences that have come in and just totally demolished the association because they want to take over. Look at what the FBI is investigating in Nevada right now, because you had, again, outside owners who lived all over the country, and yet, you know, they mailed in their proxies from the same address in one town, you know.
Well, and then you have management companies who just take over. You know, we are just getting invaded from a group in Texas. I think you know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about, yes.
You know, it is absolutely ridiculous. They grab the power, you know, see that they get some gullible people on the board and more or less take over the association, period. And everybody who doesn't shut up gets sent all kinds of weird letters threatening them with everything and then some. You know, I'm just working actually on a big article about that. This is disgusting.
I agree. I mean, the threats that come down are just unbelievable. We're talking to Jan Bergman. Jan is president of the Florida-based Cyber Citizens for Justice. Website is ccfj.net. Jan also has a tremendous amount of information on his website. He is articulate and energetic, and he's extremely hardworking. He's put out so much good information on the website. Go look at it. Constantly sending out articles, writing articles, and educating us and keeping us all in the loop. And for that, I want to thank you, Jan. I learn so much from you every day.
Well, thank you. It is often teamwork, and, you know, it takes a lot of work to put together these so-called articles, because we don't just write articles. We back them up with the documents which show that what we say is actually true. Official documents, court documents, documents from the DBPR, you name it. We have it there, often much to the dismay of attorneys and camp managers, who then sent me nasty letters and threatened me with everything and then some. You know,
I love your response.
I have Clint Eastwood hanging over my TV, you know, make my day.
You know, I love your response. Why don't you share it with everyone?
My response in regards to the DBPR?
No, in response to all of the threats you get.
Well, I always say, look, you want to go for it, go for it, you know. But we have discovery, and if you sue, all your records and even attorney-client privilege records are open for me to see. Do you want to see them all in public? Then do it. know, I mean, come on. These people live from intimidation.
I know that.
I compare them with the schoolyard bullies who want your lunch money.
You're right. So do I.
You know, and if you stand up, they often give up, you know, because they only like to go after the so-called weak ones who they can fleece without getting too much resistance.
Well, I think every time, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, you mentioned that people will say, you know, I'm just going to write a check for $500 and get these monkeys off my back.
Yes, and, but the $500 are not there anymore in the moment.
And people, I mean, people have traditionally done that, but instead of saying, go ahead, make my day, you know, we will get a website and we will post all of the stuff that we get through Discovery on the internet and make it available to the entire world. That's kind of a biggie.
Well, you see, they're trying even to shut these people up. You know, I have seen attorney letters to webmasters, you know, owners who put up the website and said, look, these are the letters we're getting. This is what happens here. See, first of all, they don't want anybody in public to see what they're really doing, because in my opinion quite a few of these things are really embarrassing. Minimum I would be embarrassed, some of them are not, but they threaten them and say, oh, you know, you use the name of the association, that's protected by trademark laws, you know, all this kind of things. I've seen in one case 7 letters sent back and forward claiming the name of the association is a trademark. You know, no, it's not.
It's a trademark.
You know,
Happy Homes from Hell is a trademark, Ian?
Yes, right. You know, but see, there are always people who, when they get letters from attorneys, they just fold. You know, don't forget, here in this country, people are often educated the way is, hey, you better not mess with an attorney. See, I grew up with my granddad telling me, you know, if you have to deal with these kind of guys, imagine them sitting on the toilet with their pants down. They look like everybody else.
I like your granddad.
You know, but that is just the way, you know, a different attitude. You know, people in this country have to learn to fight for their rights again. And if they don't, they give them up. And then coming crying, and, oh, we got another letter with a special assessment, and now I don't have the $5,000 anymore. You know, yeah, but you know, I told you 2 years ago you guys should fight this and you should do something about the problem. Now you have the letter, now it's too late. What are you doing now? Yeah, I can't come up with the money. I said, yeah, what? Who else will? You know, you should afford this problem in time. You know, when it starts, not when it's too late. You know, I got a Monday telephone call, 8:35 in the morning. Oh, they just kicked me out of my house and threw all my belongings on the street.
Oh, jeez.
I said, oops, so what happened? Well, they claim I didn't pay my dues last year, but I did. I said, well, so do you have a receipt, you know, that you can prove it? No, I can't find it. I said, well, that's pretty bad. I said, but, you know, before they really foreclose on you and throw you out, you must have gotten about 25 letters telling you what happens if you don't. I said, there are even laws to that. Well, I'm traveling a lot, and I'm not always reading my mail.
Ah.
I said, yeah, but what do you expect? Well, I need somebody to help me. I said, you know, at the very beginning, when you got the letters telling you that they will file a lien, you know, for non-payment of dues, the Florida statutes have actually now a pre-written letter there to contest the lien. It's all there. All you do, put in your name, the name of the association, and mail it. Right? So you don't need to be Einstein to work it. You didn't. I said, now that your house was foreclosed upon, you expect everybody to help. There is no help available. You know, yeah, but something needs to be done. They can't do that. Yeah, I said, but in time you could have done something. I said, as much as I fear for you, and I hate everybody losing the home, but you know, people, please read mail you get and do something about it in a timely manner.
I heard from a lady this weekend in North Carolina who has got a pretty sad story. I mean, nothing that we haven't already heard over and over and over again. But what it boils down to, Jan, is that people are not willing to protect their neighbors. You know, people ask me how I got involved in all of this. Nobody, and I've said this before, nobody ever did anything to me. I do not have a personal horror story that I can tell you. But I looked at what the possibilities were, and I looked at what was being done to other people, and I thought, you know what? This is just plain wrong. You cannot do this. And if I don't do something, you know, this is the kind of life that I'm going to be passing on to my kids and grandkids, and I couldn't stand that thought. So when I said to your neighbor, she says, my neighbors don't like what they're doing. I said, what have they done? What have your neighbors done? Well, nothing, you see, they're a little bit afraid. I understand you don't want to put yourself in the crosshairs of these vultures, but the fact is that there are more of you than there are of them, and if you don't stand together, and if you don't fight together, and if you don't protect your neighbor's not going to protect you when you need it. And you will need it, right, Jan?
Yeah, yes. You know the old saying, united we stand.
I was reading some of the articles that you've written and posted, and I think, you know, I want to go to your blog, Jan. Can we do that?
Sure.
Your blog, the latest entry was written on August 24th, 2009, and it was called Restrictions and More Restrictions. And you made some outstanding points. You talk about restrictions actually reducing the pool of potential buyers because demographics have changed. The people who are now retiring, especially like in the retirement communities, the older generation, the flower girls, the hippies from the 60s and 70s are retiring now. They don't want to be micromanaged by some moron who happens to live next door.
Don't forget, that's my generation.
It's mine too.
And we didn't take anything from anybody. That was just it. And, you know, that is why we have a hard time understanding that there are people who are willing to be dictated what they do with their lives, even within their own homes.
Some people are willing to give up a certain amount of freedom for perceived protection. They get neither. They lose their freedom, and protection is nowhere to be found. We're talking about the DBPR in Florida. If you think that that's the only so-called adult supervision in HOAs across this country that is failing miserably, wake up, guys. None of them are working. Not a single one. They're all failing. They're all designed to fail. I hate to burst your bubble, but none of them were designed to protect you. Do you agree, Jan?
Yes, but you know, about 3 years ago, we were under the impression it was bad, but it could be still fixed, and you know, a few things here, a few things there could be done. And they had a few things that actually still worked. But with a new governor came a new secretary of the DBPR, And this new secretary of the DVPR is allowing his employees to destroy what little protection was left for Florida citizens. I mean, if you read the excuses, it is outrageous. And they're even going so far as to plainly lying to citizens. They write them wrong things, knowingly wrong things, to make them feel good. Things that are not there. And they give it to you in writing, and they don't care, blatantly. They violate the statutes. They interpret them new. They come up with all kind of excuses not to punish the violator, if it is a professional. You know, we passed 2 years ago, we said that a cam, or that a person who is caught red-handed managing without a license shouldn't get a license, right? Here comes the DVPR and says, oh, yeah, that's what the law says. But it says may, and we feel we do much better service to give this person the license and bring him up to par because that will help him. Yeah, but excuse me, we already know that this person is willing to break the law, period. It's actually a felony to work to work unlicensed, you know, and nobody cares.
Well, what's even worse than that is that there are laws out there. For instance, I'm going to use the Fair Housing Law that says protect certain classes of people from a variety of different housing issues. It also says that if HUD or if HUD agency has accepted a case and is actually investigating a case, it is illegal for anyone to interfere. And there are mandatory automatic fines associated with that. We had a case here in Virginia. Association and the attorney, I mean, I'm not going to go into all of the details, but that happened. The association and the attorney did interfere. And so we filed a complaint, or the homeowners filed a complaint against both the association and the attorney. When the homeowner saw the president and asked the president about this demand letter that was received, this threatening demand letter that was received from the attorney on behalf of the association, the president did not know anything about it. It was something that was done arbitrarily by the attorney himself.
Yeah.
And so when we went and we filed complaints, I found out that there was this little provision in there, and I recommended that we file complaints against the attorney and the association because they are responsible for that ultimately. Do you know what everybody said? Oh, we don't take complaints against attorneys. Why not? Because they may lose their license. And the downside to that is, well, they won't be able to practice law. You mean they won't be able to keep harassing homeowners? Is that what you're telling me? And you want to make sure that they continue doing
yes.
that? They will not, Jan. They will not.
No. I heard from the DVPR, what do you expect us to do? Take her livelihood away? She just embezzled $5,000. I mean, that's no reason to do anything serious.
She's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I want to go back to your blog. In your blog, you had an example of someone. You were talking about the restrictions and where the homeowners have come in and amended governing documents because they've increased the number of restrictions. You talk about a former president who got hoisted by his own petard. And that happens all the time, Jan. Guy fought really hard to amend the documents, to get it in under the wire before a law took effect, forcing the restrictions, the rental restrictions on everybody. You counseled him against it. He basically thumbed his nose at you.
He insulted me over the phone. He more or less told me I'm a total idiot.
You're kidding.
No. I mean, he was really irate about it. But the thing is, you know, these people, they don't understand what it all really means and how badly it can backfire. That's what they don't understand. And you know, in this case, it really backfired. And in the end, I felt sorry for the poor guy. But you know, honestly, he brought it upon himself.
Why don't you tell us the story?
Well, you know, in 2004, we were tasked with some other groups to stop associations from creating these rental restrictions, you know, telling people suddenly, hey, you can't rent your unit or your home anymore. Okay, now that took a good way, and we finally were able to pass it into law. The governor signed it into law, so it was all fine. But the law passed in March and was effective October 1st. So here came the deal that now the law firms worked on these boards, and you better see to it that you pass these amendments before October 1st, because after it, you are out of luck. You can't do anything. Your hands are tied. They pass this damn bill. You know, watch out. So quite a few boards followed these instructions, changed it, and you know, especially in Florida, you have many, many older people. They just don't understand. If the president says, and the camp manager, you know, he's a professional. He knows what he's talking about.
Of course.
You know, if he says, hey, this is right, then I say yes, you know. They don't even understand that it could happen to them. So, in the end, he got sick, needed to move in a nursing home. After passing the rental restrictions, now he needed suddenly money. He couldn't sell the units anymore because, as you know, the market turned sour here in Florida. And in the end, he didn't have the money to pay the maintenance fees for an empty unit. So in the end, his former neighbors foreclosed on him, and he lost the unit with equity.
So, and, you know, I guess there are a lot of similar stories out there. We had one in my neighborhood. In fact, my next-door neighbor, his parents had been on the board initially. His mother was widowed, and she decided she didn't really give a fig about what they legally could do, and she voted for and pushed through rules. Okay, now we know that rules don't supersede the governing documents. And so we were willing to say, hey, you know, the governing documents do not authorize you to do that. You know, we pointed that out. Yeah, we don't care. Well, here's what happens.
We do it anyway.
Absolutely. You know, the governing documents don't give us enough. It had to do with late fees. The late fees were specified what they could charge, and she says, "Yeah, you know, we'll just have an extra late fee and plus the plus percentage and all of that." And plus, they were making charges that they were not authorized to make. So her son moves in. Her son ends up receiving the brunt from the board, and he decided he wasn't going to pay anything that he did not have to pay. And in there were some mistakes that were made also by the association, where they had assessed charges that they did not need to charge. They could not charge. They assessed late fees that, you know. So they were trying to figure all this out. It took them a long time to get a copy of their statements. And the wife brought it over to my house, and she says, "Shu, can you help me understand this?" And so we went through and we figured out what had happened. And yeah, they'd been late a few times, and yeah, they'd actually, they had paid what the governing document said they owed in terms of late fees, not all the mumbo-jumbo that his mother had pushed through on the board. It ended up where she had to hire an attorney to defend her son against rules that she had passed.
Yeah, right.
And she had to sell her house. Because, you know, it was just a real mess. But again, folks, stop and think. Stop and think. Don't do anything totally stupid.
Yeah, but they all think it couldn't happen to them.
Don't do anything so damn stupid.
Yeah, I had not too long ago an elderly guy calling me, and he was all irate. And, you know, they kicked my grandson out. I said, "So what happened?" Yeah, they told me, you know, they amended the governing documents a few years ago, and I voted for it. And it says, you know, that children under the age of 18 can't stand in the unit for longer than 48 hours. He said, but that is my grandson. I said, yeah, but he's under 18, right? Yeah, well, he's 11. He was just visiting. Yeah, I said, you know, but you voted for it. But yeah, but I didn't mean my grandson.
I know, I know. I hear that a lot.
You know, it was kind of ridiculous. You know, sometimes these stories, if they wouldn't be so sad, they could be really funny. And I think, you know, if they look for, you know, sitcom material, you know, go to HOAs and condos, you find plenty of good material where people really would laugh. But it's daily life, and it's sad, and these people get punished because they just don't understand what is wrong.
They don't think things through. Some idiot will tell them, oh, you know, this is a good idea, and they'll go for it. Just because some idiot said so, they won't think things through. They won't think, you know, what's an end scenario here? If we did this, then that would happen, and if that happens, then that would happen. And, you know, you work it down to the end, and then you realize that you're not going anywhere, guys. I mean, it's just,
I always compare it, you know, when these board members defend it, you know, they just try to do the right thing. I always say, look, you know, you go in front of a judge for a speeding ticket, and you are trying to tell the judge, hey, look, judge, we were speeding, we violated the law, but you have to understand, you know, we reached the goal. We arrived at our goal much earlier than we would have if we would have obeyed by the speeding limit. You know, okay, we ran over a few pedestrians on the way, but I mean, you know, who cares? We really achieved what we wanted to achieve, so you really have to cancel this speeding ticket.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that one.
Yeah, I don't think even the dumbest judge will fall for that one.
Jan, we're almost out of time. We've got about a minute. I know that everybody checks out your website, but let's give the URL again, because I think there's a lot of really good information there.
Well, our website is www.ccfj.net, and there is a link for a special education website. If you know what you should and not do and how it works, please go visit this educational website. It is very informative. It will help you understand. It will as well tell you what you can do to not to be bullied.
To not be bullied. When someone fires a letter at you or a demand notice, just fire right back and say, hey, where's your authority? Show me your authority. Where do you have the right to do something?
Oh, well, my authority? Look at my letterhead. It says ESQ behind my name. That gives me all the authority to run all over you.
ESQ after my name. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, I will ESQ after my name and your name. And Jan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Shu. It was a pleasure as always. And let's see if we can't win the battle once in a while.
Yeah, we need to win the war, Jan.
Yeah, with the apathy of too many people, it is difficult.
Thank you for joining us today. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice for H.O. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.